Everybody's here. Everybody has a seat. Everybody has headphones. So welcome.
So get right on the headphone, right on the microphone. Get right
I'm going to let you introduce yourself, and you and I are going to have to share this mic. Okay.
Are you sure you don't want to come over here?
We don't want to cozy up too close.
Shall we introduce ourselves then?
Yes.
Hey, I'm Emil Klein. I run a small program called Unheard Americans with Jeff Entman. And here?
This is J.J. Beck. I'm one of the composers on the project, one of seven. I actually run a recording studio in Hoosick Falls called Akin Studios.
And, Emil, your cohort, your fellow director of the project is, I think, calling us on the phone, right?
Oh, right. Yeah, I know that he was hoping to phone in just in time.
And where is he? He's in California.
He just arrived back in Seattle just not about a day ago. Jeff Entman.
Jeff, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Can you speak? Let me get you a little louder. Jeff?
Hello?
Technical difficulties, as usual.
Can you hear us, Jeff?
Yeah, I can hear you great.
Oh, that's better. Okay.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Oh, hey, Emil.
Hi, Jeff. Look at all of us here on the radio together.
It's been a while.
Oh,
why don't you return my calls?
Yeah.
Okay. You are doing a program called...
I produce a podcast called Here Be Monsters. It's about fear and the unknown.
That's Jeff. Yeah, so Jeff on his own, before meeting me, produces an independent project called Here Be Monsters.
Oh, I see.
But together, we're working on a project called Unheard America, which is seven stories which were gathered throughout 2 years traveling around the country by bicycle and living with different types of people.
And what makes it unheard?
Well, the fact that these stories come from places that you may not have expected to find interesting stories, as well as places where getting into those communities takes a good amount of work. For one story, I think I spent 2 years doing research and communication just to get accepted.
I see. Did you wear a green bow tie the whole time?
Just for the first day to make. But apparently, that was not the appropriate attire for the location.
Seriously?
That community.
I mentioned that, listeners, because you can't see it, but he's wearing a fluorescent green, lime green bow tie.
I wasn't sure what the lighting was going to be like in here, so I wanted to make sure I brought some myself. Yeah, that community, they live off the grid. So it took a while to track them down. But needless to say, fancy or needless attire, such as a bow tie, was not appropriate.
So you're saying the idea is to get involved with people from communities that we don't normally hear from.
Exactly.
Okay.
So, for example, one of the stories that we'll be presenting over at the Time Space Limited.
Yes, we should mention that this is going to be at Time and Space Limited. This is a live... What exactly is the performance?
Well, so, yeah, it's a good question. So 2 years...
I specialize in good questions.
Thank you.
Ellen kind of, not so sure.
listen.
I'm silent.
I know. Right, JJ? So 2 years gathering stories around the country on a bicycle, I might add.
Mm-hmm. Why?
On a bicycle. Why on a bicycle? Because there was this age-old tradition, the original portrait painters of America, I'm by traditional portrait painter before producer, they went around the country on horseback, and they stayed in people's barns with the animals, and they just got room and board for it.
Couldn't find a horse, so you used a bicycle?
Exactly.
Instead?
I don't think
Good question, Alan. Sorry, I take back everything I said.
Right? Gotta open it up. Okay. So anyhow, I took on that idea, and I said, why not use a bicycle, do the same thing as original portrait painters, and then I heard about Studs Terkel,
and
amazing
you're going,
guy.
You're going green, too.
I'm going green.
Going green, like your tie.
Exactly. Uh-huh. You got it.
So you are inspired by the work of Studs Terkel?
The great radio producer for us all, right? The most amazing oral historian.
Not a fan.
Oh, no?
Well, I'm not of the books, no.
Okay, how about Lomax?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's
okay.
More up my alley.
So Lomax is right on par with what we're interested in doing. And then we really like this, Jeff and I both really like this idea that music's taken on of the mashup. So we took these oral history recordings that I made during those travels, and we paired up with different musicians to mash up the different types of culture. So a peppy Miami DJ composes music around the life of a guy who lives in the wild, or a North Carolinian Hmong gentleman who really likes country music is paired up with an ambient electronic duo from New York City. Just finding how these different parts of American culture can pair and hopefully represent the same type of emotional resonance.
But the program you're doing at TSL on Sunday at 3 p.m., finally found my notes here. It's called Your U.S. or Your Us, depending
on
how you read it.
It is a double entendre. It's true.
Right. Was intentional.
I know. It's true. I've gotten.
He asked me earlier.
It's a good question. So the seven kind of cinematic radio stories are going to be presented for the first time. We're not putting them on the air for another year.
But you really put this together, meaning to have them be on radio. Right?
No, actually, they're going into a multimedia exhibition that's traveling from Massachusetts down to North Carolina next year.
Yeah,
but we're keeping them off the air for now. Some of these stories have some adaptations that have been on Snap Judgment, NPR's Snap Judgment. But these stories, as they are produced, most of them have never been heard before, and they're kind of going fallow again.
So the visual, there'll be a visual interview.
There will be. The portrait paintings, you'll be seeing those coming out of a mist kind of abstractly through the piece and kind of resolving themselves as the piece ends. So as the story ends and you come to understand this person, you come to see this person.
And J.J. Beck, which of the seven stories did you collaborate on?
I worked on one, Joel Ben Izzy out of California, an actual storyteller by trade, and I could get into the details of it, but it was a long battle, sort of discovering his battles as a storyteller, and I got into it just trying to expose his his sensitivities to his lifestyle. He kind of had a bit of a clash with himself is sort of stuck in the fantasy world and with reality, and there's a very intimate story that he tells about himself losing his mother that kind of brings reality to up front, and I kind of was delicately trying to expose the different worlds of reality and fantasy.
So you're suggesting he had sort of mental health issues?
No. Yikes. Whoops.
Jeff, step in anytime you want to, by the way.
What's your role, Jeff, in this?
Emil and I have been working on these projects for the last 2 months or so through a fellowship up in Salem, New York. It's a rural community about an hour away from Saratoga. And we spent the last 2 months taking all of Emil's raw tape and cutting it down, maybe 3 to 7 hours for each of these pieces down into 4 to 10 minutes for each of them. So that's my role in it is... Largely technical and editorial.
So the complete running time is roughly what?
It's about an hour for the whole program.
Yeah, about 50 minutes.
Right. Jeff?
Well, from Emil, if you had to add up all the raw tape that you had for this project, what do you think we were working with?
Oh, gosh. Oh, my goodness. Probably
hours?
Yeah, probably somewhere around 12 hours. I think for one piece alone, we had 8 hours of tape. And paring that down into such a small amount means throwing away a lot of life. And actually, that kind of relates back to what JJ's talking about with Joel's story, which is this thing that we struggle with when we tell a story. What is truth?
Well, this is funny you should mention that, because that's sort of what I hold against Studs Terkel, who I also thought always managed to shape his stories in a way that served his agenda.
Right.
Now, your agenda is more artistic, so so it's not quite the same issue. But, Terkel never hid his political affiliations. I have no problem with that. But I always felt that, it was like here he goes out with his tape recorder, tapes people, and then cuts it into a story that he wants to tell, not the story necessarily that they want to be heard.
Well, I mean, that's a good question, which is, what does the listener want to hear? Because, I mean, the listener may be more interested in hearing a story that neither I nor the person who recounts their personal story is interested in hearing. And that is really the question.
Well, then that becomes interesting. What do your subjects think about the end result?
Well, so we have co-ownership. They own this piece to a certain extent as much as we do.
So they could have theoretically stopped if they didn't like it.
Right, put right. We have an agreement throughout the whole
Excellent.
Thing. Yeah, I mean, the idea of, you mentioned it earlier, the organization that has kind of guided this project, URUS, is to honor and preserve history through different forms of artistic storytelling, be that portraiture in terms of painting or in terms of radio-style audio production or literary biographies. It's kind of a modern-day WPA, you might say.
And were you looking basically for the essence of the person, or what the kernel of what the 12 hours represented, or?
Well, I spend a week with these people, living with them, mm-hmm. Sleeping in a spare room if they have it, or if they don't, you know, on their couch.
The barn with the animals?
The barn if they have it, yeah, I would love to. And so over that week, breaking down that social barrier to then, and studying that person, you know, from the most minute parts of their life to find out what is interesting about this person, what is something, some lesson we could all learn from. And then that is kind of how these stories take shape.
Did you do interviews that ended up on the cutting room floor ever, or?
Jeff?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to tack something on to the end of this last thing where we're talking about, you know, Studs Terkel and WPA and all of this. You know, it's interesting that you bring that up, though, because that's definitely something that Emil and I talked sometimes with raised voices about over the course of these last 2 months. You know, this idea, you know, it's like to us, you know, an interview that's 8 hours long seems like a long interview, but can you encapsulate someone if you had an hour, or if you had 100 hours of their life recorded on tape? And if you boil it down to 7 minutes, you've necessarily thrown so much of someone's life out the window that, like, can you even claim to represent the truth within that? Or
right.
Is it more a portrait of the person cutting it than the person being interviewed, which is something that I certainly feel conflicted about in this project. And I think, Emil, you might be in a similar boat as I. Is that the case?
Yeah, I would say that, you know, when I first went into this, I'd say I was far more idealistic. And the difficult thing is that producing a story is, unfortunately, an art form if somebody's going to take the time to listen.
That's right. And it seems to me that the documentarians I know, as well as certain journalists I know, you know, agonize over this issue. Because if you do, as you do, you say you have full cooperation of your subjects, they can deny you access, or they're co-owners, so if they object to it, then it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. But that presents a problem, too. I mean, what if you want to present what you see as the truth of their story, and somehow that doesn't...
Well, their agreement is in the fact that they've said that it's okay to record.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as I press record and they've given that permission, mm-hmm. that part is up to them. You know, and so if they just had decided to withhold information during that talk, that would be the information I wouldn't be able to add, because I wouldn't have it. But I do really want to stress the fact that these pieces are so new in the fact that they are a collaboration with musicians who have no work, generally work not with radio, but with composing a more abstract thing that we're drawn towards, mm-hmm. which is music. And so, you know, I'd be really interested, and maybe other people would be, and, you know, we think of a soundtrack, but we don't think, you know, of, say, Kylie Minogue making music for a Scorsese movie. And so the question is, you know, I'm more curious as to how JJ has interacted in trying to mash up these stories, like Joel's, with, you know, with your music.
Right, right. Well,
Did you see a common element between your story and your kind of music?
Not right off the bat. I was just trying to connect to the individual as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And this individual kind of had a similar experience that I've had in my past, and I kind of attached myself to that right off, just to kind of get intimate with the material. And as I kind of dissected the interview more and more, it was pretty natural the way the music sort of unveiled itself to it. And there wasn't too much, I wasn't trying too hard to make any grand artistic statement by sort of irony or let's do something really dramatic here to kind of surprise the listener. I kind of stuck with my instinct and how I sort of instinctually interacted with the material. And it kind of came out really sort of suitable and less, in my mind, it didn't come out too dramatic. The music isn't overpowering the story. I feel like it's purely a kind of support.
It's bolstering, yeah. It's
like, yeah, I think it bolsters it, yeah.
Who determined which musicians went with which?
We left that up to the musicians.
That was a great
idea. Oh, so you looked at all the different ones and picked one.
I mean, some of them are already taken, but, you know.
Right.
I just sort of was like, oh, I like this one.
Mm-hmm. And I can't even say that, and, you know, and that was a big leap on Jeff and my part, because who knows if we thought that that musician would pair. I mean, you know, I would never have thought this electronic DJ would match up with this story about somebody who, you know, lives off of the land in the wild. And yet, for some reason, they matched up so much better than I could have expected.
How did you find these people to interview?
I have interns in each state when I'm going through that state, and they do demographic research.
I know, we've been begging for interns here. Sorry, I'm kidding.
the interns are great, you know, and if I could have spared more time, I would have done it myself. But they are great because they're interested usually in sociology, American studies, and so I say, you know, what's going on in your state that I wouldn't know about? And then they do this demographic research, they reach out, and, you know, before you know it, bing, bang, boom, we have, you know, six interesting people to interview.
And who are some of the others? You've talked about the person living off the grid.
So there's somebody who lives off the grid.
The storyteller.
There's the storyteller. There's a woman who had some troubling things happen to her as a child and then kind of had to reconfront those things when she had become a new person as an adult. Then we have a story about, you know, a Hmong North Carolinian.
Oh, right, you mentioned that.
Who would think it? Country music. And, you know, we think the Hmong, who are this group of people we haven't even heard about, really.
Or what we've heard is kind of depressing.
Right.
Because there's a high suicide rate.
I didn't know about that, but I can say that the ones from this community that I met, there was definitely not a high suicide rate. There was a high positivity rate, as cheesy as that sounds. And then who else? We have some very archetypal stories of American life, of the single working class mother, how she struggles and how she comes to her own comfort within that struggle.
Well, and we have Patricia too, who's the nun.
Oh, that's right.
Nun.
Yeah, that's true. We have a whole children's choir.
A Roman Catholic nun, or
A Benedictine nun. I stayed in this monastery with a bunch of nuns.
With a bunch of nuns, wow.
Yeah, I know. It's like Boccaccio or something.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But it wasn't like that. I swear, it wasn't like that.
And we also have Estella, too, who...
A what?
Denying her cultural heritage, and then only through a vision that she had on a mountain was able to finally reconnect with it through her mother, which is just a fantastic and beautiful and abstract story that she tells.
Right. I mean, that story is amazing. And what the musicians have done for that, I mean, it's just so interesting.
So are you just going to do one performance of this?
Here and there. So, I mean, this is why we're so excited, is because we've just finished this. We did this whole project up at Salem Artworks, this arts center in upstate New York that is amazing. I mean, to even accept an idea or a project like this, you know, radio as art is this whole new thing.
And this is the world premiere, isn't it?
This is the world premiere.
Ellen, could you do the date and time again?
Sunday, 3 o'clock.
At TSL?
At TSL.
What street is that on?
Columbia Street, 434.
And what's their phone number?
He's always testing me.
Why don't you test him
a little bit? The phone number, oh dear.
Oh, you don't know the phone number?
Not off the top of my head.
I believe it's 434 Columbia Street.
434 Columbia Street.
That's right.
This Sunday,
and the only other place it's going to be showing is down in New York, and that's for one day as well.
Wow.
And then it's going off the grid for another 8 months. So this is kind of a sneak peek into something before anybody else sees it.
Is the idea to refine it after you've done these two performances?
No. We made these works up here. We wanted to give this area the first glimpse before anybody else got it, you know, just as a way of saying thanks to the area for being just so cool. We really enjoyed working up here.
It is cool up here, isn't it?
Well, it's quite cool. Oh, goodness.
We've been talking with Emil Klein and J.J. Beck and Jeff Entman on the phone. They're all part of a creation called collectively, what is it called again, Alan?
You're US.
And the project is called Unheard America.
Unheard America. Well, thanks for coming in. I hope people come out to see it, because I know there's a lot of people in our town here who are very much interested in storytelling, in how to tell a story.
Lots of oral history projects.
Right. We have an oral history program here, and Sarah Kendall, if you're listening, I know this is right up your alley.
Well, we promised something new. Definitely new.
Yeah, this is definitely new and something that I've never heard before in my own listening. So I think that other people should really enjoy it as well.
Well, I think the music aspect is really interesting. I'm eager to hear that.
Well, we're excited for you to hear it.
I'll be there.
Thanks so much.
Sunday at 3:00, I plan on coming. Well, thanks for joining us, guys. And we have to cut you off here because we have to do a couple bits of business before we get off the air. So once again, Emil Klein, J.J. Beck, and Jeff Entman, thank you for joining us here on the afternoon show.
See you all at TSL, 3:00, Sunday.